And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Professor John Tetnowski. He is the Blanco Endowed Professor of Communication Disorders here at UL Lafayette, internationally known scholar in stuttering, among other disorders, communicative disorders. You're here today to talk more about another way that you've learned to help people. And over the holidays, you went to Liberia originally just to help out, and then actually got to use some of your expertise in stuttering as well. But how did you become involved with this trip to Liberia?
That's right, Judith. This was one of those things that kind of came about almost at the last minute. A person who I know who lives here in town half of the year, Eric Wowo, is a citizen of Liberia, was born in Liberia, and eventually worked his way to Lafayette, Louisiana, really to escape some of the problems they've had in Liberia, civil war and things like that. I've known Eric for a long time, and he's really just an incredible person, a wonderful humanitarian, and he has asked me several times to go to Liberia, that he thought I could have an impact, and I finally gave in and went with him this past December.
Mm-hmm. So you had said he made his way to Lafayette. Obviously, he's maintained contacts in Liberia and has used his contacts to help out people there. What has he established over there?
Yeah, well, a little bit of background on Eric. He was born in Liberia and was separated from his family, and actually grew up in various different refugee camps throughout Africa. Really didn't know his family until he was an adult, and through some wonderful strokes of luck got to know his family later on. But throughout the many years of civil war, he eventually worked his way. One of the few people who did get a visa to come to the United States, and ended up in Lafayette, Louisiana. And his goal was always to go back and to help the people of Liberia. And over a period of time, he has established an organization called Change Agent Network. And when I hear of these organizations, I say, oh, they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. But then to go and experience it myself was something really quite different. Just landing in Liberia. By the way, for those of you who don't know where Liberia is, it's in a country in West Africa, just off the equator. And even though it was in December when I did go, I remember getting off of the airplane and thinking to myself, as hot as it is here in Louisiana in the summertime, and as humid as it is here in Louisiana in the summertime, it was hotter there and more humid there. So it was really interesting. But the country doesn't have any infrastructure. It was really destroyed during civil war, so they have no electrical grid. So there's no electricity to deal with the heat, the humidity. Mm-hmm. There's no air conditioning. And the country is really devastated after many years of civil war, and there's many, many, many needs.
Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts beforehand? And I guess I have to tell people that you're an endowed professor here at UL, but you work with some very sophisticated students. You all have many, many PhD students in communicative disorders. You use lots of sophisticated research and equipment and rubrics. And that's the world you live in and deal with. And you travel around to conferences with very sophisticated scholars. What were your thoughts about going to a country without an electrical grid and students without any resources?
Sure. You know, and once again, hearing about it and talking about it are one thing. Going there and experiencing it is something else. Mm-hmm. Now, I have certainly seen poverty in my lifetime throughout the travels here, but I've really not seen poverty to the degree that I saw there. I mean, there were homes that I visited that were half the size of the sound booth that mm-hmm. we're speaking in right now, and there would be sometimes 8 people, 10 people living in there. The beams that made up the home were just tree branches. The walls sometimes were made of newspaper, just very raggedy. And it's a country where it's not just hot, but it's also rainy. As a matter of fact, it's the rainiest capital city in the world. Monrovia is the capital of Liberia, by the way, named after James Monroe. But that's another story.
How U.S. President.
Yes, U.S. President, how it came to be and how it was established. But to go and to see people who don't have the access to education that we have here, and yet how much they appreciate it and how little they have and how much appreciation they have for every little thing that they get. Mm-hmm. And yet they're incredibly happy. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things that really makes the trip worthwhile.
Well, describe the situation you came into. What town were you in? What was the school you were working with?
Great. Yeah, I went to an area that's part of Monrovia called Lower Johnsonville. And Lower Johnsonville is an area within the city that was really established around a school that through Change Agent Network that Eric was responsible for raising some funds and putting together. By the way, it's a free school, one of the few free schools that exist in Liberia post-Civil War. And they've been established for just over a couple of years now. And they're already educating several thousand children that they're doing free of charge. As a matter of fact, the only thing they ask the children for is for $15, and that supplies their books, which is in terms of a couple notebooks and pens, and they also get a school uniform for $15. And many of the children can't even afford that, and they're sponsored by someone else along the way.
Mm-hmm. Describe the campus. What was the structure like at this school?
Well, the structure is really pretty basic, but just a model of efficiency the way it's run. First of all, it's a basic structure, okay? Concrete blocks make up the wall. And the genius of this Change Agent Network, too, is that the money that they do collect is spent locally. So they collect the money. The bricks are made locally. The people who build it are employed locally. The desks inside of the school are built locally with the wood. So it's giving everyone an opportunity in the community. And you can see how the community has grown as a result of the school. As a matter of fact, there's activity that's going on. From what I understand, unemployment in Liberia is about 80%. Mm-hmm. So any type of job really changes people's lives.
Right. Now, you have your lovely little iPad here, a notebook, and you've got some photographs of some of the classrooms that are quite startling, the materials that they use to try and, I guess, insulate and decorate, and the very crowded classrooms to start with.
Yeah, the first thing that I would notice is that if you would think of a small classroom that we would see in this country, and I'm not talking the typical school mm-hmm. classroom, I'm talking about a small classroom. Well, there would be a small classroom, and in the lower grades, you would see about 60 kids in this classroom, and they would run two sessions per day, a morning group and an afternoon group, because there's so much demand for it. And I'll tell you, the demand is amazing. There was one young woman who I met when I was there that she would walk about 8 miles to come to school. I mean, would walk 8 miles. We all hear our parents telling us the stories of they're walking to school through the snow or the rain or whatever. Well, this girl actually would walk 8 miles. The principal of the school and a pastor of one of the local churches told me that they weren't so sure about that, so they walked with her one day to her home, and they got about halfway and turned around and came back.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really valued. But you would have many, many children in classrooms, and yet they all wanted to learn. They would have notebooks. They all would be dressed the same because of the uniform. And the reason that they would supply uniforms is because many of these children really don't have the type of clothes that you would wear to school.
Right.
Really, I thought I was going to go and see some very basic education, but they're really doing an amazing job.
What grades do they have in this school?
They go from pre-K 3 all the way up to grade 12, mm-hmm. and in the evening they even do some adult training as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I myself have a daughter who's in ninth grade, so I was very interested in looking at the high school curriculum, what they were teaching, and I saw them teaching some pretty high-level algebra, and some chemistry was being taught. So I was really quite impressed with that, in spite of the fact that they really don't have any textbooks. Mm-hmm. Of course, no electricity, so they don't have access to the internet. So they're using chalkboards and chalk, mm-hmm. and the old black composition books like we used to have years ago, and each child has a pen and a pencil, and they really guard those very carefully.
Those used to work pretty well, I guess.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? Yeah. Huh? Yeah, there were no iPads there.
Right. I do want to tell people who may just be tuning in that my guest is Dr. John Tetnowski. He is the Blanco Endowed Professor of Communication Disorders here at UL Lafayette. Over the holidays, the Christmas holidays after the last semester ended, he gave of his time in Liberia to a school that was created through the efforts of someone who does live in Lafayette part of the year and has really gotten a lot of people to help support his efforts. So you went expecting to help with some reading?
Yeah, that was my original goal because I understood quite a bit about the country and I was going to give them some instruction on teaching the children about reading, stressing the importance of reading, which I didn't have to stress because they know how important school is. I found that out. Mm-hmm. But to also teach some better methods in reading. It's one of the areas that I do some work in here. Our department is really kind of world-renowned for that teaching, but I know a little bit about it. So I went there knowing that this was a poor country and that there was some need in education, and I thought I could really help in that area. Educated the teachers. They accepted everything that I said. Mm-hmm. Well, after being there for just 2 or 3 days, they found out what I really did, and they found out that I did some work with stuttering. And my perception was that when you don't have a lot of food to eat, you don't have any money, how important could stuttering be? But once again, opportunistic people will make the most out of every opportunity. And within a short time, I had a line of children and some adults waiting to see me at this school pretty much nonstop. They would be really lined up. And I think that one of the things that I learned from these efforts is, you know, what was I going to be able to do in a couple days or a couple of weeks? But what I did find out is that you can provide hope.
That there is someone out there like yourself who studies that and gives hope all over the world to people. There are methods that can be used.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite stories was there was a young girl who her mother brought to see me.
In Liberia,
right. Uh-huh. And by the way, English is the native language spoken in Liberia, so it made it very easy. It's Liberian English. There are some differences, but so this mother brought her daughter to see me, and her daughter was about 12 or 13 years old, and these children are actually smaller because of the nutrition things, and she looked about 8 or 9. But I just asked her name and asked her to do some things for me, and she would really try to talk, and literally nothing came out, just nothing. She was just stuttering severely, just blocked and really couldn't come out. And I knew by the time I had met her, I only had a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And I was very interested in seeing her because she also had 4 younger siblings who also stuttered, by the way. And, you know, I saw that some of them really had some potential short term to make some improvement. And this young girl, Betty, who just really touched my heart, I just thought, man, there's really not much I'm going to do for her. That's what I was thinking. And I gave her some sheets that I had and did some explaining and some teaching with her. And I thought, well, got to help who you can in the time available, and that's it. Well, the next day, her mother brought her again and the rest of the children. And I'd given her these sheets, like I said, and told her what to practice, how to practice. And so she comes back the next day, and I said, okay, now let's try some of these things that we worked on. And the day before, she really couldn't get a word out, and I said to her, I said, okay, tell me what's on this page. And she would say very carefully, this is a picture of a boy. And I was just blown away that she could make that much change. And really, who's someone who I thought couldn't make that much change, mm-hmm. even over an extended period of time. And I asked her, I said, did you practice last night? And she said, yes, I practiced all night. And I said, well, how much did you practice? And she said, from when I went home until I came to school today, I practiced. And I thought, that young girl practiced about 13 hours, pretty much nonstop. And you have to remember, no electricity, so it was probably to candlelight and things mm-hmm. as well. And that's just one of those things where you know, it just touched me. And the next couple of days I worked with her a few more times. And mm-hmm. when I left her, her responsibility was to do her practice, but then to also do the practice with the younger children, because there were five in this family, four younger than her that also stuttered.
To give the tools to someone so determined in such a short time. Were you able to impart some of that to some of the teachers in the school? Did some of them observe you working with these children?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was just a little bit. You know, my major goal there was to teach some things on literacy. And mm-hmm. I think that we, you know, left a little bit of impact there mm-hmm. in that way as well. But once again, Judith, I think that to go there and experience, I know it's changed my life, but I can just hope that it's changed the lives of maybe a few children, maybe a few people in Liberia as well.
That's right. Who knows? That young girl may end up here as a doctoral student.
Well, you never know. I mean, really, that's really one of right. my goals. I did find out, because the children go up to grade 12, and there's really not much hope to go to college there for them. But there is actually a small university in the country, and if you do get to go, it really does change your life. It gives you an opportunity that the rest of the individuals don't get. And, you know, through some of the work with my students over here and some other people who are interested in the cause, is my goal is to actually send a couple of those high school students on to the next level and to have the opportunity to get that college education. So that's one of my personal goals, and with try to work with the students in our department to add to that as well.
Absolutely. And, of course, we are talking about the UL Communicative Disorders Department.
That's
my
correct.
Guest, John Tetnowski, is a professor, the Blanco Endowed Professor of Communication Disorders here at UL Lafayette, talking about his trip to Liberia in December that he took to a school. Again, the name of the school?
The name of the school is called the Heart of Grace School, and it's in part of the capital city, Monrovia, called Lower Johnsonville. Mm-hmm. And it's really supported through a nonprofit organization established by Eric Wowo, who does spend some time in Lafayette, called Change Agent Network.
Mm. Did you have much of a chance to see more of the countryside? Did you get to travel much around Monrovia? Or?
Well, actually, I got an opportunity to travel around the country. And one of the trips that we did take was to the northern section of Liberia, right up along the border with Sierra Leone. So I got to go through the forest, as they would call it, the rainforest, the jungle. And we went to a remote area right along the border with Sierra Leone. And there aren't many roads, by the way, and some of them aren't in really good condition. Honestly, most of the roads are dirt roads. Mm-hmm. But on the way up there, we took this trip because this nonprofit has been so successful in the area that there's other areas in the country now who are reaching out to this organization to see if they can establish an education system as well. So took this trip to the northern border of Liberia, and the school was really one hut at this point, and that's all it was. It was maybe 12 by 12 feet, and there were several hundred children. And what attracted the children there was they had cleared some land and they were playing soccer, football, you know, in their mm-hmm. term, soccer. Mm-hmm. But and that was the way they attracted the children to the area, and then they were going to start the education system tied in with it. But I was watching the game, and it just really struck me, these children playing soccer. I know that when I was young growing up playing basketball, the way you would establish these pickup games as to who was on whose team is one team would leave their shirts on, the other team would take their shirts off, and you'd play shirts versus skins. Well, I remember watching these kids playing soccer, and I was amazed because it looked like they were playing shoes against no shoes, because there were –
That's how they were distinguishing their
teams.
Half the team
really had mm-hmm. no shoes, but they were interested, and they were working with this other woman who is starting to do some work with the Change Agent Network. Her name was Hawa. We used to just call her Happy Hawa because she had just the biggest smile, and just working with hundreds of children, literally almost on her own, in a fairly remote area of Liberia.
So again, these people are interested in working through this private network, just like the school. Or
well, it's a nonprofit.
Nonprofit,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the government of Liberia really just doesn't have the money to build the resources. Like I said, you know, there's no electrical grid, there's no water system, there's no sewage system. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty major things that are going on, and unfortunately, education falls down the ladder. So if the country is going to change, I think it's going to change as a result of some of these nonprofits that go in. And what they educate these children for, like I said, $15 a year is pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. The teachers who teach at this school are really hardworking. Like I said, they run two sessions per day. And I know what their salary is, okay? Their salary, which changes their life, gives them the opportunity to feed their family, is $80 a month. A month to be a teacher, and that's a very, very good job.
But as you say, they all seem incredibly committed and very happy to be working with these children.
Absolutely. They do a wonderful, wonderful job. You know, once again, I know what we have in this country, and I've seen what it's like on the other side of the world now.
Right.
And they're committed to education. The education is important. You know, like I said, the young girl who'd walk 8 miles to school and so on.
And there is this special connection with Lafayette because Eric Wowo made his home here for so many years and still maintains presence here.
He comes here for a short period of time and he travels back to Liberia where he heads this organization. And much of his time here, by the way, is working with the Change Agent Network. And there's some fundraising that goes on with it and establishing of contacts. He's actually been invited to Washington and has met with high levels of government agencies there. And the word is spreading.
Yeah. And other people from Lafayette have had the same opportunity as you have, perhaps, to go over
yes,
there?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the time that I went with a friend of mine, Mark Thomas, who actually went there. I was teaching about education. He was teaching about business. Mm-hmm. Two women, Marty Thomas, also was there at the same time, and she did some work through as kind of a mission trip as well. She also did some work with women, established some family. Heather Leckie, who is really the contact for Change Agent Network here in town. As a matter of fact, I have a contact for her if anybody wants it. And Fran Clark, another woman who's been doing some work trying to establish some type of businesses in the so there's an opportunity to advance and improve the plight of the people in Liberia.
Mm-hmm. So much desire in this community to help others. And my guest here, John Tetnowski, obviously pursuing that. John is a professor here at UL Lafayette in the Communicative Disorders Department. Again, lots of PhD students there, very sophisticated department. Over Christmas, he spent time in Liberia working with a nonprofit school there, helping them with literacy and, as well, his specialty, stuttering, and made a great difference in some people's lives. I'm sure if anyone would like more information or contact for Heather, they could get in touch with you. I'm sure there's a website as well.
Yeah. If people want more information, they can contact me through my contact here at the university. It's my last name, Tetnowski at louisiana.edu. There's also they can go online to the Change Agent Network, which runs this, and their website is www.cantl, so like Change Agent Network International .org.
I'm sure if you just search for that, it'll pop up somewhere.
I'm sure, yes. And Heather Leckie is a contact in town as well.
Well, John, thank you so much for coming by to share with us your experiences over the holidays, and I'm sure it will inform your teaching here at the university now and encouraging others to have that same kind of experience.
Thank you very much.
Thank
it's really
John.
Been my pleasure.